Take your Bible now, if you would, please, and turn with me for a continuing journey in faith found in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I begin this morning with a brief note from the annals of American church history. Almost 160 years ago, the now vast Southern Baptist Convention was formed. The founding fathers took their stand upon the Word of God at the First Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia. And should you ever visit Augusta's First Baptist Church, you will find an inscription on the building's walls that pays tribute to the faith of those who gathered there in 1845. And it reads thusly, "The list of the names of the men of God, men who see the invisible, hear the inaudible, believe the incredible, and think the unthinkable." Let me read that again. Men who see the invisible, hear the inaudible, believe the incredible, and think the unthinkable. That's not a bad eulogy for men and women of faith. Quite in keeping with Hebrews 11, where the venerable King James Version expresses it this way. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders," or the men of old, "obtained a good report." And this morning we turn another corner in faith's hall of fame, and we find the portrait of one of those elders, one of those men of old, whose faith found God's approval. His name is Enoch. I never see the name Enoch in the Bible without going back to my childhood. I only wish I could remember the whole chorus, but you'll be glad I didn't. "Old Enoch walked with God, and he was taken, transported in the twinkling of an eye." And if anybody can find the rest of the words to that, I'd like to have it. By faith, it says in verse 5 of Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you catch the phrase under Enoch's portrait? He pleased God. Not a bad epitaph. They might have put that on his tombstone, you know, except for the fact they never found his body. The divine revelation concerning Enoch's whereabouts is given to us in Genesis 5. Let's turn back there. Interesting, isn't it, how we're in the New Testament, Hebrews 11, but we keep referring back to the very first book in God's Word, the book of Genesis, which is the beginnings of faith. Genesis chapter 5, we learn a little more about Enoch at verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 100 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In the few words of testimony concerning Enoch in Hebrews 11, where the subject is faith, and then these few words in Genesis 5, I want to suggest to you that there is a very big revelation for us as we continue our journey in faith. It's sort of like a lock and key. In Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, which we have read, we learn that faith pleases God. And in Genesis 5, which we have just read, we discover what it means to please God by one's faith. Are you ready? I don't want you to miss this. A faith that pleases God is a faith that walks with God. That is to say that faith is not so much a religious activity. Some would define faith as only being kind of a religious feeling. Faith is much more. According to Enoch's testimony, a man of faith that in Hebrews pleased God in Genesis 5 is a man who walked with God. And so faith is a personal and intimate relationship with the living God. I like to say this, biblical Christianity is not religion, it's relationship. I want you to see this again. I'll dwell for just a moment. In the Hebrews 11 text, the language is, Enoch pleased God. In Genesis 5, Enoch walks with God. This is the Bible's way of saying one and the same thing about the meaning of biblical faith. To walk with God by faith is to please God. To please God is to walk with God by faith. We put those two verses together, lock and key. To walk with God by faith is to please God. To please God is to walk with God by faith. It is to be a man or a woman who, by the grace of God, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, believes the incredible, and thinks the unthinkable. Such is the privilege of those who walk with God, who believe and trust that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him, a relationship. You know, I walk my dog Libby early every morning, almost every morning. She needs the exercise. But I use the time for what I call my prayer walk as well. Am I glad that dogs cannot speak? Because I talk as I walk to my invisible but very real Father in heaven. I speak right out loud. Occasionally, I will meet up with a little lady making her way on foot to early Mass. She told me where she goes early every morning. She wears a woolen little cap, whether it's the middle of August or the middle of January, and she scurries along the street, takes a shortcut over to St. Raphael's for early morning Mass. And I told her I'd pray for her. She said she'd pray for me and light a candle, so I don't know. One particular foggy morning, I didn't realize that she had made her way this time to just a few steps behind me. I didn't know she was there, and Libby didn't even let me know. So there I was, talking to the Lord about some of my sins and some other concerns. And I was talking to the Lord about some of your sins. And she passed by. I got one of those looks like, who let this man out to walk the streets all by himself kind of look. But you see, I wasn't talking to myself. I was actually walking with God while walking the dog. Even if I do keep my voice a little softer these days. I know that I am not in Enoch's league just yet. You'll know I've arrived in Enoch's league when I don't show up some Sunday morning and the body is nowhere to be found. I've never yet been transported in the twinkling of an eye, but I expect to be. The point is, Enoch walks with God by faith. And it pleased God so much, he just changed Enoch's permanent address without time to even pack a suitcase. It was in the 65th year of Enoch's life on earth. It says, then he began to walk with the Lord. In a way, he apparently had not walked with the Lord in the past. It was an encounter with the Lord that would continue to deepen and grow, the passage tells us in Genesis, into a 300-year relationship rooted in faith, and it had grown day by day. And I did the math on this. For 109,500 days in the life of Enoch, there was an ever-deepening trust and delight in his Creator, Redeemer. And then God just took him. I say Redeemer because when a son is born to Enoch, in this critical 65th year, the chosen name itself, Methuselah, I believe is a testimony of Enoch's born-again experience, if you will. Put it in New Testament terms. A testimony of Enoch's faith. You see, Methuselah in the Hebrew words, really two Hebrew words, muth, the verb to die, and shalah, which means literally to send, meth or muth shalah or Methuselah. In phrase form, literally, it could mean death is to be sent, or as a phrase, Methuselah literally means when he is dead, it shall come. Imagine naming your child that. When he is dead, it shall come. Such is the meaning of the name Methuselah. What is it that God revealed to Enoch around the birth of his son? That after the long life of Methuselah, 969 years, his grandson, whose name is Noah, will be born. And Noah will be called of God to preach the infant gospel message in object lesson form by building an ark. In the prophesied flood came the message of judgment. And in the building of an ark will come the message of salvation. A narrow door through which all who enter will be saved. And Enoch, in his 65th year, with the birth of a son, had this antediluvian, this pre-flood gospel message of salvation given to him by God. And he not only embraced the message by faith, in his day, Enoch even became a preacher himself. like his great grandson would be, Noah. I'll prove it now. In the brief epistle of Jude, just before the last book in your Bible, is this footnote in the resume of old Enoch. Jude 14 and 15. Let me read it to you. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, he's a preacher. Here's what Enoch preached. Behold, the Lord comes to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I bet he titled that sermon with one word, ungodly. Enoch was 65 years old when he learned from God about judgment and salvation. He believed and began his journey in faith for 300 years. A walk of personal relationship to and absolute trust in the God of his salvation. This trust in God's message of salvation, listen carefully, pleased God. That's the testimony of Scripture. You want to get more specific about what does it mean to please God? It begins and it ends with faith that believes the gospel message concerning judgment to come and salvation offered. You see, the gospel message, whether it is proclaimed before the birth of Christ, which certainly is the case of the man only seven generations removed from Adam, or whether it is a gospel proclaimed after the birth of Christ, as we do here some 2,000 years after, it is that message that creates faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the message of God. It brings sinners. The only message that brings sinners into a lifelong and everlasting walk with God, such as Enoch knew. Remember Hebrews 11:6? We read it. Let me read it again. Without faith, that is, without a faith like Enoch's, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That just because he is invisible does not mean he does not exist. Enoch believed in the God he could not see. He must believe that he is, and what else? That he, this God, is a rewarder of those who by that faith that seeks him, diligently seeks him. Seeks him every day for 300 years. If you were to live that long as Enoch. The reward of seeking him whom you cannot see and believing the message of judgment to come and salvation offered is the beginning, the middle, and the end of what it means to be found pleasing in the sight of God. We can learn a great deal from Enoch about pleasing God. We know that it means walking with God. We can learn from Enoch about the rewards of diligently seeking God's fellowship each new day, as Enoch did for 300 years. One particular way in which I was challenged this week as I reflected upon the experience of Enoch is this. It is possible to walk with God and please him in the most evil and wicked of days. He lived in one of the most evil and wicked of times, Enoch did. In the sermon he preached, which I just shared with you from the book of Jude, that word ungodly was used four times in one sentence. The ungodly, ungodly deeds, ungodly ways, ungodly sinners. I saw that and wondered if there was some other kind of sinner than an ungodly one. But Enoch makes the point. He lived in one of the most evil of times. We meet Enoch in Genesis 5, but listen to this. One chapter later, Genesis 6 records these words. Verse 5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Enoch of old tells us it is still possible to walk with God and please Him in spite of the prevailing evils of our age. Is it not Amos 3:3 that says rhetorically, can two walk together unless they be agreed? That explains for us that what Enoch did in walking with God was to agree with God on everything, and especially God's will for his life. In this walk with God by faith, Enoch let God set the agenda. He let God write the to-do list every one of those days for 300 years. Well, I need to bring our thoughts to a close. They've been brief. But by asking you to use for just a moment more your sanctified imaginations, what might Enoch have to say after a 300-year journey of faith in his walk with God, now that he's been home with the Lord for several millennium of time? What would Enoch say if he could speak to us from this pulpit? Sanctified imaginations, please. I think Enoch might say something like this, you know, in my 65th year, God revealed to me judgment to come. I preached about it. I also believed it, embraced it. Why, I even named my son in such a way as to declare that this judgment would come, and that those who know of it should turn to the Lord in faith. And I began to walk with God. And I became increasingly aware, almost right away, of my real weaknesses and my personal inadequacy. I had to learn with the Apostle Paul that his strength is made perfect in weakness, and that without him, I could do nothing. It took me almost 300 years to learn that much. But I found that the closer we walk together, that my response to sin, sin that I committed, was very quick and painful. Sin brought me sorrow, a sense of distance from him. I learned to always be ready for a sincere and a genuine confession and repentance. And boy, I learned that walking with God involves certain conflicts and even persecution. I discovered that trial and tribulation was the rule, not the exception, in this walk with God. The Bible says we all through much tribulation must enter into the kingdom. Even Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. But folks, Enoch might say, after a while I came to see trials not as a reason for doubting, despair, or even depression. I saw them as opportunities for growth. I learned that God was more interested in the development of my character than allowing me to live a life without conflict. He often moved me out of my comfort zone. I came to see that even the most humble forms of service to Him was my highest honor. Not that I could ever give anything to Him, but oh, the joy of just participating in what He wanted to do through me. Even after I had done my very best, I knew myself to be an unworthy servant, but at the same time, I was incredibly happy that I could do something, anything, that he would ask of me. I discovered, too, that times of worship and fellowship with others of like precious faith were the best of times on earth. But there was nothing quite as wonderful as my time alone with him. I found myself eager to share what God was teaching me about himself. Why, a person could ask me, how are you? And I found I couldn't give an answer without beginning the sentence with God. God has done this. God is doing that. God has shown me this week. I found that I could not help but jealously guard my time of prayer and meditation on him. I must admit, I actually prefer to spend more time with him above all other people or things. Then Enoch would say, it's past noon and he better stop. So one more thing. You know, in that moment that he took me by surprise. I don't know that my wife has yet gotten over it. I never knew on earth, even after 300 years of walking with God, that there could be such joy, such peace, such freedom, such all-consuming love as I knew the first second I actually saw him.